It's Friday evening. You've probably had a very busy week. And the overall title is Fallen World, Broken Minds. And then this evening, the title is Exploring the Problems. You see the recipe for depression here? It's kind of piling up already, isn't it? So I blame myself totally for the planning in rather negative angle that's coming along so far in talking about Fallen World, Broken Minds, and exploring the problems. If it helps for you for this evening, you could think of this as setting the scene. Slightly more positive, really, than exploring the problems, but don't worry, we will be exploring the problems while we set the scene. But hopefully this will help set the scene for the whole weekend. This is intentionally just a bit of a whetting the appetite, seeing where we're going, and hopefully get us thinking for the rest of the weekend. I'm hoping that you are here because the issues really matter to you, the issues of mental health, of the fact that we do live in a fallen world with broken minds. They're certainly issues that matter to me. Can I say that I do realise as we set off on this weekend that many of you, and I'm particularly thinking of those of you who are psychiatrists and GPs, but probably others of you as well, have a good deal more experience in these areas than I do. But I'm not inexperienced in them either. I've been involved in counselling for just under 30 years. I, as it said on the programme, first of all did a maths degree at Leeds University, and then I went into psychiatric nursing. And It was quite an unusual choice. Most of my friends were going into accountancy. I couldn't possibly cope with that, but very definitely had reasons to choose to go into psychiatric nursing, and that was a good direction for many reasons. And one of those reasons was that I'd known since I was about 16 that ultimately God was calling me into full-time pastoral ministry, and it seemed to me that whilst the state was never going to pay for the training that I really needed for full-time pastoral ministry, psychiatric nursing was about the best the government would ever do. And at that stage, you did get paid for doing it. There was a salary involved. So I went into psychiatric nursing, and that was very, very interesting. But I became pastor at Bethel Evangelical Church in Otley in 1986. That was it, yes, 1986, and then was full-time. For several years I was psychiatric nurse and pastor, and then went full-time in 1989. And really what I want to try and do is try and help with this whole area with a combination of kind of the pastoral and the professional, the biblical and the clinical, and really seeing where they fit together. So let's begin with a bit of exploring of the issues, the problems that we're going to be looking at this weekend. The first issue that seems to me we need to admit is that these issues are vast for the NHS. Now, I know that you know this far better than I, so I don't want to bring too many coals to Newcastle. But it really is a vast issue for the NHS. Suicide is one of the leading causes of death in the United Kingdom, especially in the under 45s. Half of the suicides in 2007 were in the under 45 age range. In England, mental health conditions are thought to cost approximately £105 billion a year due to loss of earnings and associated treatment and welfare costs. Of course, when it comes to the NHS, it's not the costs merely affect the community in mental health services. It affects so many aspects of the life of the NHS. About 11% of the NHS budget is spent on mental health disorders. That's the largest single area of expenditure. I did notice that quite a number of GPs had enrolled for this weekend, and I didn't know whether that was normal, but from what John said, it sounds a bit higher proportion than normal. And maybe that is because it is such a key area. Research shows that GPs spend about a third of their time on mental health issues in one way or another. So, you know, vast relevance and impact and effect on the NHS. The problems are also vast in terms of your work, more broadly or rather more specifically than the NHS, your particular work. You know, when you think of the list of illnesses where mental health problems are either a very direct cause or certainly something that will exacerbate somebody's condition, the list would be too long for us to begin to even deal with this evening. I'm sure not necessary for me to list them for you anyway. It would be fairly accurate to say that most things, in a sense, would be on that list, even down to that broken leg. You know, somebody turns up in casualty, they've broken their leg, but that may well have been caused by somebody who's got drunk. Why did they get drunk? Well, maybe because of mental health issues, depression, and so on. And then there is the fact that people's illnesses, which, whilst the causation for those illnesses might not be a mental health problem, nonetheless, the illnesses that they have may well lead them to have mental health problems, most notably areas of anxiety and depression. I'm sure you'll have all had that situation where you are talking to a patient, trying to understand the particular symptoms that they have, and they're not communicating very clearly. It's hard to follow what they're saying, and that may well be due to the anxiety that they have, and that very directly then affects you because of the difficulty of understanding what is being said. But they may have anxiety about the symptoms that they have. They may have anxiety about the prognosis that they fear that you might tell them concerning the future. And they may just be anxious about being in a setting that they haven't been in for 10 years, whilst to you it's perfectly normal because you're in that kind of situation every single day. Fact is, you see, these problems are vast in terms of your work, because every day of your working life will be affected in some way or another, to a greater or lesser extent, by mental health problems. But also they are vast for you personally. And here I'm thinking of digging a little bit deeper than just your work and what you're actually doing. I'm now thinking of talking about the way that your work affects you internally, in your mind, in your heart, in your own mental health. You know, that there are pressures upon you, the people that you see, the illnesses that they have, the difficult diagnoses you have to give to people, the worries and fears that weigh your patients down, and how they will often offload those onto you. And then there are the pressures of working within the NHS, within all the kind of financial and budgetary pressures that there are these days, with cutbacks affecting people, with a kind of target-driven culture that puts enormous pressures on health professionals and doctors. And then, of course, there are the pressures of working with colleagues who are under the same pressures as you. But on top of those pressures that they have because of their work, they may well be going through a crisis at home. That they may have a marriage that's on the rocks. They may have children that are in trouble big time. And you know, that rubs off then on their relationship with you and on their work. And then there are those who just don't deal fairly with you and don't deal honestly and truthfully and with integrity all the time in certain situations. There are challenges of working in an interdisciplinary setting. And then on top of all of those kind of things, there are the pressures of trying to stand as a Christian, trying to make a credible witness as a Christian in in a very messy situation with all these problems, with all these pressures, with all these things going on around you all the time. And these can weigh upon you. Everyone here, therefore, we can be sure, will have experienced what it is to have the pressure of these various problems weighing in upon us, recognising that we do live in a fallen world where minds are broken, where they're not working perfectly. And so what we're looking at this weekend is certainly not theory. It's not just at a kind of theoretical level. This is very real. This is very personal. These are things that affect us, not just in the work that we do, but individually and personally. And surely we're here because we do need help with them. So they're vast for the NHS. They're vast for your work. They're vast for you personally. On top of that, they're very complex. The problems that are associated with mental health are extremely complex. What causes mental health issues is a very complex. And we sometimes don't know what to do to try and understand them. We're not looking for a single factor. I think we recognise that there's no kind of one thing that we know can say that is to blame, that's the cause of all mental health issues. This is a multifactorial issue. This is something that will be affected by a number of factors. And then what mental health issues cause in people's lives is also a very complex issue, as is the treatment of mental health problems. There are many options as to possibilities of treatment and which one is the right one and how do we make that kind of decision. And then when we're trying to understand these problems, that there are just so many theories and there are competing viewpoints and each of them is pretty complex, and how do we know which one is right? And there are just so many books that we could read, and we just don't know where to start. What you would love is if there was just one neat, clear answer. But actually, it just isn't there. It's elusive. Or if it is there, you certainly, I guess, haven't found it. Of course, what you may find is that you can see elements of truth in several approaches, and you just wonder whether you're being hoodwinked by this viewpoint or that viewpoint, or whether actually there is a good bit of truth in each of them. So how do you handle it? How do you understand it when all these issues are so complex? Well, as a good Christian, you probably go to your Bible looking for the answer. And that's a pretty good thing to do, isn't it? We have an understanding that the Bible is God's inspired word to us, that it is sufficient for all of our needs. And so we turn to the Bible. But dare I say it, if we're honest, actually, that gives us another problem. And that is that the Bible speaks about these things. It certainly does. We can see it, but it isn't the mental health textbook that we'd really like it to be. Earlier we read Psalms 42 and 43, which are a bit of a twin. You might have spotted the chorus that runs through the two, verses 5 and 11 of Psalm 42, and then verse 5 of 43 is basically a word for word chorus, exactly the same in each occasion. Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. And you'll find other phrases, like at the beginning of verse 6, there we are. My soul is cast down within me. And there's a poetic description of deep calling to deep at the roar of your waterfalls. All your breakers and waves have gone over me. You can see the oppression that's coming upon the writer of the psalm. This talk in verse 9 of why do I go mourning because of the oppression of my enemy. There's huge weights upon the writer of these Psalms. And so very obviously the Bible speaks about these issues. You can see mental health issues oozing out of these Psalms, but not in a textbook way. Here in these Psalms, it's very autobiographical. And to top that, it's a song. It's poetry. It's to be sung. I'm not quite sure what the tune would be, because it would seem to me to need to vary quite a bit. It's at times should be a real lament and be very minor key and downbeat, and then it lifts and it would be really upbeat and very positive. It's huge variation. It's a kind of lament that's seasoned with faith and hope. But the Bible never gives us a systematic analysis of mental health. And that can be very disappointing. But don't give up hope at that point, because actually the Bible doesn't give us a systematic treatment of many of the things that are dear to us, which we believe with all of our hearts. So actually, for instance, to give you a very obvious example, the Bible never gives us a systematic treatment of our understanding of the Trinity, of the fact that we believe in one God who is three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, where each person of the Trinity is distinct and yet equally God. And that one is not more God than another, but they are co-equally God. And yet there are not three gods, but one God. Now, we believe that, or I'm kind of hoping we do. That's kind of orthodox Christian belief. It has been for 2,000 years. But you'll never find that systematically expressed in the Bible. But we still believe it. And that is because we come to the Bible and we see truths. And there's light shed here and hints there. And gradually the picture is put together. And some of us might actually be a little bit disappointed that when it comes to such doctrinal issues, that the Bible hasn't been written as a systematic theology, where things are neatly categorised and presented in a systematic and logical order. But the Bible doesn't actually present things like that. Now, that's not to say that it is illogical, but so much of the truth of Scripture is presented through the warp and woof of experience of different people's lives and their relationships with God. And the pieces of the jigsaw, as it were, with regard to the understanding of the Trinity come from here and there and everywhere, and they come together to make a coherent sense. But they come together in a way that also has life. And come together in such a way that their power is seen to be life-changing. And that is the beauty of how the Bible is put together. Now, I would suggest to you that what we've got is basically the same when it comes to issues of mental health. I'm not sure we're going to get quite a nice, neat definition of mental health and all that's related to it in the way that we might do with regard to the doctrine of the Trinity. But what you will get is, from here and there within the Bible, time and time again, you will see light shed, ideas put forward, experiences expressed. And so you'll have a bit in a section of prose, and then something in poetry, here in a song, there in history, here in a gospel, then in a proverb, and you'll find all these bits being brought together to give you a coherent picture of how we work internally, how our minds and hearts work, and what are some of the issues to do with them, and how we need to deal with ourselves. And you may be wondering, why hasn't God made it a bit simpler for us? You know, why isn't the Bible presented as a systematic theology? Or when it comes to the issue of mental health, why haven't we got a mental health textbook that we can follow in this very neat way? Well, maybe, just maybe, I say with tongue in cheek, God knew what he was doing when he presented the Bible to us in the way that he has presented it to us. And that actually what we need most is the varied, flexible, nuanced approach that the Bible gives to us to understand these issues, that portray the issues that are involved, that don't pretend that everything can be neatly categorised and treated in a textbook way. What we know, and we'll get further into this particularly tomorrow, what we know and what we need to assert and what we need to hold on to with absolute confidence is that the Bible is sufficient, that it is authoritative, that it is very relevant, even though it may not be presented in the way that our modern minds would tend to prefer it. But yet actually we need to open ourselves up to the possibility that it is presented in a way that will be most helpful to us. And that's really what this weekend is going to try to explore, to pick up bits from here and there as we see the kind of picture developing throughout the Bible, to understand more about mental health issues, the problems that people face, how we are to deal with them, whether they are out there in other people or whether they are in here within ourselves, in our work setting, in our church setting, in family setting, so that we might be better equipped to be God's servants. So let's pray that God would do us good over this weekend and really feed us from his word as we come to understand more of it.